Hello, friends. I'm Joe Voigt, and this is Indy's Local Flavor. I'm live from my bedroom this week. So, you know, the social distancing thing. First of all, I want to say thank you to a couple people. I want to say a huge thank you to my buddy at work, Rob, for leaving a message. Really great message about the podcast from the golden era of Hoosier Hysteria. Got a lot of great feedback from you guys about that. I really appreciate that. I really enjoy sports history. I really enjoy sports history. So I did I'm glad I could bring that to you. Also, I want to give a thanks to the couple listeners that I have in England. When I read that, when I was doing my research on my podcast, that really blew my mind. So thank you over to the people in UK. And I know the situation is even worse in England, so I hope that my podcast can bring you guys a distraction from what's going on right now here in the world. And we're going to get through this. And just like FDR said, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Indy's Local Flavor this week is brought to you by Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza at the historic Irvington location on the east side. Their phone number, 317-356-6612. That's 317-356-6612. Historic Fort Bend at 317-986-4545. That's 317-986-4545. And South Old Town Greenwood, 317-883-8993. That's 317-883-8993. They're open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. for carryout and delivery. They're still serving up their full menus. So check out their full menus on giacomopizza.com. That's giacomopizza.com and facebook.com/Giacomo Pizza. The breadsticks are great. I've been there myself. The salads are great. My favorite is the Greek salad. That's outstanding. My favorite pizzas are the Cheese Louise with five cheeses. The Slaughterhouse Five is named after Indy's local author Kurt Vonnegut. It's all the meats you can eat. The Luau with ham, bacon, and pineapple with barbecue sauce is great. And if you can only do the veggie thing, try the SoCal. It's outstanding. If you enjoy adult beverages, you can still get those for delivery and carryout. Right now, the special is six pack of domestic for $9, six pack craft bottles and cans for $13, six-pack cider and mead for $17, and now they're running special. All wine bottles are half off. If you haven't had their desserts there, you are missing it, my friends. They are out of this world. I had the carrot cake for my birthday last fall. It's hands down the best in town. They still have bread pudding, and they still have gluten-free cookies, according to my friend Liz at the Irvington location. So, friends, give Giacomo's Pizza a call today at 317-356-6612 if you're on the east side, 317-986-4545 if you're on the north side, or 317-883-8993 on the south side. They're open for carryout and delivery. Also, Indy's Local Flavor wants to get you into a car that you can be proud of. Bad credit or good credit, if you need a reliable car, new or used, call my personal friend, Josh Cones, at Ray Skillman at 317-665-6559. Once again, 317-665-6559. Joshua will treat you right. Tonight's topic is the history of the Indiana Pacers and how I became a diehard Pacers fan, so I hope you enjoy. I'm going to go over the history of the Indiana Pacers and promote a book that you need to get. I'm going to post this on my Facebook page. I'm going to post this on Instagram as well. And I'm also going to post a picture of the Giacomo's Pizza logo. The book you need to get is by local sports journalist Mark Monteith. It's called Reborn, The Pacers and the Return of Pro Basketball to Indianapolis. I'm sure it's available at all your favorite online book places. So once again, it's Reborn, The Pacers and the Return of Pro Basketball to Indianapolis. And if you ever heard Mark Monteith before, he's outstanding. I'm getting my source from Wikipedia for this again. The ABA Pacers started in 1967. They won three titles in 1970, 72, and 73 with coach Bobby Slick Leonard and Mel Daniels, also with Roger Brown and George McGinnis. And that time was the golden era of the Pacers. So I'm going to date myself big time. I'm a Generation Xer. I grew up in Anderson. And there's the Indiana Pacer that came to the Mounds Mall that's now closed. His name was Billy Knight, and he was the shooting guard. And he came to the Mounds Mall, the Athletic Attic, which had been long been closed. And I met him. He was a really class guy. And this was all for free. I met him. He had an 8x10 black and white picture, which I still have. And he signed it. And it's a black and white picture of him doing a layup. And he signed it. And I was 10 years old, and my dad took me to see him at the Mounds Mall, and I was hooked instantly. I was a Pacer fan for life after doing that. Many of you saw Pacer games at Market Square Arena, and Market Square Arena was a great place for sporting events and concerts, conventions. It was a great place. I was really sad when they blew it up. I was really sad when they blew it up. And that was the last place that Elvis played before he died. And there's a marker downtown that says that. So my family was middle class in Anderson. And we saw a couple games at Market Square with the Pacers. So there are three levels to Market Square there's three levels to Market Square, as you remember. There's the lower level, which we never got in. And then there's the second level, which we didn't get in either. Excuse me, I had a technical difficulty there. We didn't get into the second level there. So we were in the upper deck. So as an 11 or 12 year old, when I was going to these games in the upper deck, you'd be okay walking up the stairs, if you remember correctly. And this is where you got to go with Mr. Peabody and his pet boy Sherman in the Wayback Machine, because Market Square's closed, so you got to close your eyes and visualize this, if you would. Theater of the mind, old school radio. So if you're walking up the stairs holding on to the handrail, you're fine as a child. However, when you're walking down the steps at Market Square Arena in the upper deck, and you're a young boy or girl, everything looks bigger. So when I would walk down the stairs of Market Square Arena, I was holding onto the railing for my life, because it looked like if you slipped and fell in the upper deck of Market Square, you were going to fall to your doom and just fall all the way down to the bottom level of the stands and die. But fortunately, I had a strong grip and never fell out down at Market Square. I was fortunate enough to see a couple of Pacers games at the Anderson Wigwam. That was during the 1982 season. and the Pacers played the Detroit Pistons that season. And that season with the Pistons, that's when Kelly Trepuka was really big. He was from Notre Dame. That team also had Isaiah Thomas on it, Bill Laimbeer, Benny Johnson, and Anderson Madison Heights, Ray Tolbert. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the Pacers won both those games. So the 80-81 Pacers, where I met Billy Knight, had Don Boozy on there. I met Don when the Pacers played the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals with Paul George Hibbert. And, so I met Don Boozy at the signing when Hibbert and George was together. And with Lance Stevenson, super cool guy. Super cool guy. There was a guy next to me on my left that had a Don Boozy jersey with the Sharpie, and Boozy signed his jersey in a second. On that team was Billy Knight, Big Mac, James Edwards, and that team was coached by Jack McKinney. And Johnny Davis was on that team. Billy Knight led the team in scoring. They lost to the Sixers in the playoffs 2-0 in the first round of the playoffs. During the time when I met Don Boozy, I also met Big Mac, George McGinnis. And I was in radio for 12 years, so I met my share of celebrities, and I normally don't get starstruck. But when I met Big Mac, George McGinnis, I got starstruck that day. And he was super cool. And I asked him, I said, "George, you're an amazing player, and you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. But please tell me what it was like to play with," I didn't say this, but I said, "my hero, that I looked up to when I was a kid playing basketball in Anderson was Dr. J." And I said, "George, please tell me what it was like playing with Dr. J." And he said, "Dr. J was class all the way, class guy, and he was an amazing talent." And he said, "you wouldn't believe how big his hands were." And I knew that story because I read the Dr. J autobiography, Julius Erving, which is a great book if you like Dr. J. His nickname when he was playing in Rucker Park in New York was called the Claw. That's how easy he could palm the basketball. But I also told George, I said, "well, the reason why I'm a Pacer fan is I met Billy Knight when I was 10 years old in Anderson." And he said something I didn't know. And he said, "Billy Knight was a great tennis player, and he was also a class guy as well." So the Pacers, when they had to go to the ABA folded in 76 for a majority of reasons. First of all, bad money management by the owners, more or less. So the Pacers had to make the jump to the NBA, and they had to pay $3.2 million in 76 to join the league, which now would be probably $320 million. And the Pacers struggled for a long time, and they did telethons on the WTTV Channel 4. And it was, but they made it finally. The next person I met that was a Pacer was Clark Kellogg. Clark Kellogg does college sports, great sports journalist. He was actually my first interview at Ball State for WBST Radio. And he was with the Pacers during the lean years, and he basically blew out his knees. He was a huge star at Ohio State, and he blew out his knees, and he had a really short career. After that, The Pacers struggled for a while. The next big person to get signed with the Pacers that everybody remembers is the rifleman Chuck Burson for his outside shooting. Reggie Miller comes along in 1987 from UCLA, and Donnie decides to draft him, and he gets booed because all the Pacers wanted the standout Steve Alford to play for the Pacers. And Steve didn't do very well in the NBA, but Reggie's a Hall of Famer, so there you go. 87, Reggie gets drafted. 88, the Dutchman, Rick Smits, gets drafted. 89, the Pacers get Detlef Schrempf for Herb Williams. I also met Detlef at an Indianapolis park when I was an intern in radio, got his autograph. Super nice guy, great with the kids, and went on with a great career with the Seattle Supersonics. 1989, the Pacers made the playoffs but lose to the champion Pistons team. Reggie is named an All-Star. 1990, Detlef Schrempf is named Sixth Man of the Year. 1993, Larry Brown coaches the Pacers, and the Pacers get Derek McKee for Detlef, and they send him to Seattle. 1994, Reggie scores 25 points in the fourth quarter to do a miraculous comeback against the Knicks, where he flashes the choke sign to Spike Lee, the Super Knicks fan, on camera, and also with his other hand off camera, which you see in the great 34-30 on ESPN Miller Time. They talk about that with Spike Lee. He says, off camera, he reaches down below to taunt Spike Lee as well. You need to see Miller Time on ESPN 30 for 30. It's amazing. 94, Mark Jackson joins the Pacers. He gets traded from the Clippers. 1997, Larry Bird becomes the head coach. Chris Mullins joins the team with Dale Daniels and Antonio Davis. The Davis brothers, Derek McKee, Rick Smits, and Reggie make the playoffs but fell to the Jordan and the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. So Antonio Davis gets traded to the Raptors for Jonathan Bender. Huge, massive mistake, in my opinion. The year 2000, the Pacers make it to the NBA Finals but fell to the Lakers in six games. I loved both those teams, but I wanted the Pacers to win because I knew the Lakers would make it back. The Pacers, that lineup was Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller, Jalen Rose, Dale Davis, and Rick Smits against Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, Glenn Rice, Kobe Bryant, Ron Harper, Rick Fox, and Robert Horry. Bird was coaching the Pacers, and the Lakers was coached by Phil Jackson. And Donnie Walsh decided to break up the team. So 2001, the Pacers get Brad Miller and Ron Artest. 2003, Scott Pollard joins the team on Jeff to back up Jeff Foster, the great center. I met him at the Castleton Mall one time during his final season. Super nice guy. Al Harrington gets traded to the Hawks for Steven Jackson. Pacer fans, do you remember where you were November 19th, 2004? I remember it vividly. I didn't see the game. My brother Ben calls me and says, turn on ESPN. I'm like, why? He says, just turn it on. I was in shock as a Pacer fan. So let's retell the story of the darkest moment of the Indiana Pacers. Let's set the scene. The game's over. The Pacers had a great team that year. It's in Detroit. Game's over. Al Harrington isn't on the team. There's a shoving match that Ben Wallace starts with Ron Artest and Ben Wallace of the Pistons get into a shoving match. And Artest gets hot with Ben Wallace and gets ejected, I believe. And he goes over to the scorer's table and lays down and starts laughing on the scorer's table. John Green, per Wikipedia, I forgot the guy's name, comes down with a full beer and throws it on Artest. Ron Artest goes into a rage and is on fire. Rick Mahorn, formerly of the Detroit Pistons, who's now a broadcaster, is hanging on to his jersey with all his might and is tearing his jersey from behind, but to no avail. Ron Artest doesn't see who dumps the beer on him and just jumps into the crowd. And he's in full rage mode, and he's got his fists ready to throw a punch. And he almost clocks this kid, almost, but he doesn't. And on his left, Steven Jackson jumps into the crowd and starts punching people out. So Ron Artest finally gets this guy, grabs him from behind, and lands at least three punches to his head. At least. And then that stadium went supernova. And the next event that I remember is a Detroit fan gets on the floor. And my brain is screaming, "Where's the security? Where's the security?" No security. The fan runs on the floor. Jermaine O'Neal sees this fan. One move. Blam! Right in the face. TKO knockout right on the floor. The refs finally stop the game and my brain is screaming, "Where's the security?" The Pacers. That was the worst display of Pacers basketball that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I was embarrassed for the Pacer fans, for the Pacer organization. I was strictly embarrassed. It was a huge black eye. And the Pacers managed to rally and huddle up and get off the floor. And there's a million beers thrown at the Pacers, leaving Detroit. And Al Harrington was interviewed later. And he said if he was still on the Pacers, which he wanted to be on the Pacers, that Artest wouldn't have been on the floor. So Artest gets suspended for 73 games. Steven Jackson got 30 games by the late David Stern. Jermaine O'Neal got 25 games. And Reggie was going to retire in 2004. He waited a year and retires in 2005. The Pacers didn't recover for about 6 years because, I'm going to be blunt again, Donnie and Larry did garbage draft picks. So, there you go. Owner Mel Simon dies in September 16th, 2009. However, the Pacers recover 6 years later when they draft Paul George from Fresno State. The Pacers now have George and Hibbert, a nucleus to build around. The Pacers with David West nearly beat LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, but they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. 2014, George breaks his leg severely, which tanks the Pacers for that season in a USA Olympic pregame. 2015, Paul George returns. Later, Nate McMillan becomes the Pacers head coach. Paul George is sent to Oklahoma City because Larry Bird didn't want to resign him, really. Let's be honest. But that was a good thing. Looking back on it now, Paul George is sent to Oklahoma City for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, and now Paul George is playing for the Clippers. So there you have it. Sorry, I got emotional, guys. Sorry about that. Indy's Local Flavor is brought to you by Anchor Podcasts. If you haven't heard about Anchor Podcasts, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and the greatest thing about it, it's free. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor does all the legwork for you, so you can now hear Indy's Local Flavor on iTunes, SoundCloud, and for all my Android friends, Indy's Local Flavor is now available on Google Play, and more platforms are coming soon. You also can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership required. It's everything you need to make your cool podcast all in one place. So go and download the Anchor app on your laptop or smartphone, or go to anchor.fm to get started. If you want to do a podcast, now is the time. If you're stuck at home, download the Anchor podcast on your smartphone, and you can use the mic off your smartphone and just do pre-production and write what you want to say and record 27 minutes of it. Now is the time if you want to do a podcast. This episode was brought to you by 1 Joshua 1 verses 5 through 8, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, and by the letter P for peace of mind. I'm Joe Voigt for Indy's Local Flavor. I thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.